Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Murat, and today we come to our 12th study in the Gospel of Matthew. We are in Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessing to the word that we're about to study. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 11, 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Jesus doesn't want anyone, educated or uneducated, rich or poor, to die and burn in hell. But he is grateful that the Father's plan of salvation doesn't depend on a person's IQ for success. In fact, those who try to obtain salvation through human intelligence are going to miss it. 26. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight, was gracious of God to come up with the plan of salvation, the one that he did. It's gracious because no one is excluded if they want it. Verse 27. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Opposition to Jesus was growing, but Jesus wanted his apostles to know that things were not getting out of control. The Father is in charge, and everything is working together to bring about the exaltation of Christ. He says, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and he to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Jesus is 100% human and 100% God, which is impossible for us to understand because no one can be 200% of anything. Any attempt to explain the Lord Jesus will end up reducing him to the level of human understanding, which would dishonor him. The fact is, only the Father fully understands Christ. Only God can understand God. Verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you ask Jesus to save you from the penalty of your sin and take over your life, he will give you rest. That rest is peace of mind, knowing that the punishment for your sin has been taken by Christ. 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. A yoke was placed on an ox. It gave the farmer complete control over him. Jesus is saying, submit to my control, submit to my will in every area of your life. And Jesus will teach us about himself as we do that. And fact is, if that happens, then we will find rest for our souls. Peace. Verse 30. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now Jesus isn't saying you won't have any trouble, and you won't have hard times, and you won't have sadness if you follow him. What he is saying is that as you put him first, and focus on him through prayer and Bible reading, he will give you the strength to make it through those trials. Chapter 12, verse 1. At that time Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. And God's law permitted travelers to pick grain in somebody else's field, a handful or two, whatever they needed to sustain them. 2. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. These foolish, nitpicking, religious big shots were accusing the disciples of harvesting a crop on the Sabbath. because they took a few handfuls of grain. And it was just ridiculous to suggest that they were doing the work of harvesting on the Sabbath. 3. Then he said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priest." The bread of the presence, as it is called, or the consecrated bread, was holy bread. And it was baked by the priest in the Old Testament, and it was only for the priest to eat. But David found himself in a real jam one day. He was without food and very hungry. And David was allowed to eat that bread, and God never rebuked him for doing it. 5. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priest in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Jesus reminds these religious rulers that the priests work on the Sabbath every single week. Now, they kill the animals, they offer the sacrifices, and no one puts them down either, because they are serving the temple. They are serving God. And then notice verse 6. But I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple. The priests work in the temple on the Sabbath, and it's okay. Jesus is God. Jesus is therefore greater than the temple, which was only a place to worship God. If it is okay for the priests to work on the Sabbath when they are serving the temple, then it is sure okay for the disciples to pick a few handfuls of grain and eat as they are walking along in service to Christ, who is actually God. 7. But if you had known what this means, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice," you would not have condemned the guiltless. The Pharisees understood the rules of God, and of course they added a bunch of their own rules, but they didn't understand the heart of God. They didn't know God personally, so they didn't know that God puts compassion before ritual. 8. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Jesus, as God, invented the Sabbath. It was his idea in the first place. So if anyone knows how to observe it, it has to be Jesus. 9. Now when he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue. Jesus goes from the grain fields to the synagogue for round 2 with the Pharisees. 10. And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" that they might accuse him. See, the Pharisees hated Jesus and wanted to trap him. They knew Jesus relieved human misery whenever he found it. Consequently, they bring a man to synagogue who is hurting. They set this man before Jesus and they ask Jesus, in front of the whole congregation, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" If he says no, they will be quick to accuse him of a lack of compassion. If he says yes, they will accuse him of breaking the Sabbath law that forbids work. 11. Then he said to them, "What man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out?" They would work on the Sabbath if one of their sheep was in trouble. Verse 12, "Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. If it is right to show mercy to an animal on the Sabbath, and it is, then it is certainly right to show mercy to a human on the Sabbath." 13. Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and it was restored as whole as the other. The Pharisees tried to embarrass Jesus, but Jesus embarrassed them. He exposed their double standard, their lack of compassion. He exposed the fact that they cared more about their animals, really themselves, because their animals were their property. They cared more about that than they did about hurting people. 14. Then the Pharisees went out and took counsel against him, how they might destroy him. If any of these Pharisees would have been the one who was healed that day in the synagogue, they would have been thrilled. Instead, they got angry and they went out to plot the murder of Christ. They were all about self. 15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. The leadership hated Christ, but the people loved him. Verse 16. And he warned them not to make him known. Those that Jesus healed, he warned not to make it known, not to make him known. Jesus' miracles and messages testified as to who he was. And he wanted the Israelites to know that he was the Messiah and that the Messiah had arrived. What he did not want was an emotional push to make him king, for the main purpose of crushing Rome and giving Israel her freedom and giving all sorts of free food and medical treatment. Jesus' big thing is to preach the Word of God and see people repent and make Him their spiritual Lord, not their political Savior. His plan was to conquer evil by shedding His blood on the cross, not by shedding the blood of the Romans. And so that's why He downplayed who He was at this point. He didn't want a big movement to start as far as drafting Him to be the king. 17. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. Key word in verse 18 is servant. Isaiah the prophet predicted that the Messiah would win souls by compassion, by serving those souls. And the Bible says that the goodness of God is the thing that leads people to repentance. Verse 19, He will not quarrel, nor cry out, nor will anyone hear His voice in the streets. In other words, Jesus didn't resort to demagoguery. He didn't stir up a crowd by appealing to their emotions. He just spoke the simple truth. Verse 20, A bruised reed He shall not break. In other words, Jesus didn't step on the weak and underprivileged in order to reach His goals. A bruised reed He will not break, and a smoking flax He will not quench, till He sends forth justice to victory. In other words, it was predicted that the Messiah would keep ministering to the needs of others, caring for the sick, encouraging the discouraged, and nothing would stop Him. He would do it until He brings justice to victory. He would do it even when the hypocrites hated Him for doing it. And He would do it even after His enemies nailed Him to the cross. He would do it because it is right. 21. And in His name, Gentiles will trust. Gentiles refers to the nations other than Israel, the people other than Israelites. Gentiles refer to the entire world. You know, there is no hope for the world apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. He is it. He is our Savior. And we're going to stop there for today, and we will pick up our study in verse 22 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.